Welcome in to Bears Weekly, a Chicago Bears Network production. Download the Chicago Bears official app, brought to you by Verizon, to follow the team on the go. Bears Weekly is brought to you by Advocate Healthcare, Bet Rivers, CDW, Connie's Pizza, and Miller Lite. Now it's time for Bears Weekly with the voice of the Bears, Jeff Joniak, on the new Bears Radio Network.
2 weeks until the annual NFL selection meeting this year from Kansas City, home of the Super Bowl champion Chiefs, and we're talking draft tonight here on ESPN Chicago and the Chicago Bears Radio Network. Good to be with you once again. This is Bears Weekly, and I am Jeff Joniak. Joining me tonight, as always, Jim Miller from SiriusXM NFL Radio's Moving the Chains, the former Bears quarterback. Our producer tonight, Kendra Smith, in the ESPN Radio Chicago downtown studios. And special thanks to our Bears producer, Dan Brilli, Jordan Tredup. Also, the executive producer of the Bears Radio Network, Eric Ostrowski, and also Katie Tuber helping us out tonight as well from Hallis Hall. Coming up shortly, we'll visit with veteran defensive lineman DeMarcus Walker, and at the bottom of the hour, new Bears defensive lineman Andrew Billings. So the big guys up front. Big Jim Miller, how we feeling? My heart's pounding. We got the blood flowing. We got the draft around the corner, man. Let's go.
It is. It's an exciting time, and you know, there's a lot of rumors that are swirling out there right now. Who's going to fall? Who's going to, you know, really surprise and be the surprise pick in this year's draft? But, you know, as always, this time of year, there's just a lot of leakage going on. You know, everything seems to be leaked, you know.
It's the lion season still, you know.
Yeah. So, you know, it's fun. You got to take everything with a grain of salt because there is a lot of smoke out there at this time of the year.
All right. Do we read in anything to the 17 prospects attending the draft, the NFL announcing those 17 players today? Quarterbacks are there, including Will Levis, Anthony Richardson, of course. You've got the running back, Bijan Robinson, the receivers, Jackson Smith and Jigba. You've got Jordan Addison from USC, Zay Flowers from Boston College. You got the safety, Brian Branch from Alabama. And, of course, the big guys up front, Jalen Carter of particular interest here in this part of town, Tyree Wilson. Keon White, a bit of a surprise for me to be one of those invited, the Georgia Tech defensive end, Devin Witherspoon, the corner, and Christian Gonzalez from Oregon. Only one tackle. Paris Johnson Jr., Will Anderson Jr., the outside linebacker as well in the mix. Do we read into any of that?
No, I don't think you read it. You know, some guys just, you know, they'll turn down the offers. You know, we know a lot of guys like, I mean, think of the Hall of Famer Joe Thomas. Remember, he went fishing with his dad on draft days. He turned down. I think Gil Brandt was upset about that turn down because he heard Joe Thomas turns into one of the great tackles of our time. But he just wanted to go fishing with his dad and spend the day fishing. So some guys turn him down, know the local kid in the backyard, Peter Skoronski. A lot of people have him going in the first round, but maybe, you know, he's going to spend time with his family. And that's every player's choice. Some, it's a dream come true, and they want to experience the draft in a live day event, and some guys just want to spend it with loved ones because it's been a lifelong dream of theirs to be in the NFL, and it's something that's shared through the families, and they just want to spend quality time together.
In your mind, have you settled on a top 10, regardless of where they'll wind up going, but the 10 guys that will likely be the top 10? Because you can make a case that there is a consistent pattern of what we might expect there, barring any last-minute moves up or down, guys wanting to go in a different direction, teams wanting to go in a different direction. Have you settled on a top 10?
Yeah, I'm pretty close, but there's always a curveball. You know, there's always, you know, and obviously Jalen Carter and where he's at, I mean, that's going to be a curveball in the draft. I still don't think he falls out of the top 10. But there are other teams that I know has been reported he's off their board. So it's if those issues, character issues, and in the off-the-field incidents, you know, that could affect him. And could he fall out of the top 10? I can't rule it out, you know, but that would be a huge curveball, obviously, if that happens.
Yeah, as you get closer to draft night and on draft night, when you're talking about a blue chip, you have to put him in that category, regardless of what might be going on behind the scenes in his life or what type of person he is. We're going to learn a lot about that soon. But do you know you're the Bears. You're at 9, and blue chip staring you in your face potentially. Detroit could be in the same boat at number 6. Seattle. I mean, these are the teams that could be interested in this guy. How difficult would that be as a general manager to turn away from blue chip?
Well, I think you trust your process and what you've believed in over history of drafts, you know, and if character is an issue for you, then you're probably going to pass them, you know, and they have all the history of, you know, and again, is it a youthful indiscretion? You know, I think there was a loss of life in here, and he was evasive to the police. Now, is that just the immaturity of a young man who just needs to mature a little bit? And can your locker room, meaning the current guys that you have in there, you know, really bring a guy along who's had some issues? I think that's a big part of it. You got to know your team. You got to know if you can insulate a player like that, if you got the leadership and things like that that are involved to bring a guy along. And those all play into it, you know. And I think a lot of these GMs and these coaches have a lot of experience on teams that were able to do that. And that's why you bring up Ryan Poles. I mean, look at Tyreek Hill. He had the off-the-field incident when the Chiefs drafted him. And, you know, they came back and, you know, after the draft of the incident that happened. And certainly Andy Reid had to go out there and say, hey, yes, this player made an awful decision. We believe we can work with the player. He can grow up. He can mature. And here, Tyreek Hill, there's never been another incident since, you know, since he arrived. And has been, by all indicators, a great pro and one of the top receivers that is out there. So, as always, there's always going to be risk-reward, and there's going to be blowback as well.
News of the day. A man who paid $800 million for the Washington, at the time, Redskins and now Commanders, is selling this franchise for $6 billion, the biggest in sports history, to Philadelphia 76ers and New Jersey's Devil owner Josh Harris, with a group that includes Magic Johnson and others. They navigated a very different economic landscape because of the current state of the economy, for one. Borrowing money costs money these days a little bit more, and this is some kind of process. But what does this do for the rest of the league? Denver just sold, and this was already a major increase from the Denver sale.
Yeah, and I do agree. You know, some owners really got to think about that. I mean, this is a 30% jump in just what the Denver Broncos sold for, which was $4.6 billion. Now it's already up to $6.5 billion by this Harris group that looks like they're going to be the winning bid. It's still got to get approved by the owners. I don't know why they wouldn't approve it. I mean, when you look at the Harris group or Josh Harris, he owns the Philadelphia 76ers, so it does have a pro background. I think that's important, and I do think the owners will really move forward and approve it. And Daniel Snyder, you know, will go his separate way. But I do think, you know, some owners are probably going to think about this. You know, there's already rumors at Seattle. Could they be the next team up? What about the Buffalo Bills? They're another team that people are speculating on that they could be the next team to move as well. But I think it's, you know, some of these owners are going to pause how quickly the prices have driven up. But that's a big market. When you look at the Washington Commanders, that is a huge market that Washington has, and it's always been a pretty much coveted market. Like the Dallas and Washington typically are the big revenue drivers every single year.
Okay, we're through round one of our five-segment show called Bears Weekly. When we come back, we'll be joined by one of the new additions, the defensive end, DeMarcus Walker. He's coming up next with Jim Miller. I'm Jeff Joniak. Thanks for listening, everybody. We're here on ESPN 1000 on the Chicago Bears Radio Network.
This is Bears Weekly with the voice of the Bears for 23 years, Jeff Joniak, on the Bears Radio Network.
Taking a look at corners and the defensive line for the upcoming draft, but right now we're going with the guys who have worked in the trenches for a good long time and are now Bears. We start our conversation tonight with DeMarcus Walker, the newest Chicago Bear defensive lineman, with Jim Miller, Jeff Joniak, and this is Bears Weekly. DeMarcus, thanks for joining us and your debut edition on this particular show. Welcome to ESPN.
Hey, Jeff, how's it going? Chicago, how's it going, family?
Fantastic. And I'll tell you right now, DeMarcus, I love your personality. I could tell. We've never met yet, but I watched you on all the social platforms for the Bears. I see that you have been talking a lot about here, this town, Chicago, the fans, and you came from a pretty rabid franchise down there in Tennessee, had a great year last year. But are you feeling the vibe of Chicago and the idea that this is a Bears town and a Bears town that's on fire right now about the future?
Honestly, okay. you know, I'll be honest with you, I can feel your energy from the phone right now, too, you know, and how excited you are. And I'm so thankful for that, you know. So, to be honest with you, I haven't been in Chicago yet. You know, honestly, after my press conference, I hit the road back to where I was working out at. And honestly, just haven't been there yet. I can feel the energy and the love from the fan base so far, and I can't wait to get there, you know. And, you know, it's been surreal. And, you know, what's so ironic, I've met a few Bears fans since I've signed. And, yeah, man, I mean, I've been reassured that, you know, it's a Bears city. So, you know, just taking it one day at a time has been, you know, a blessing. And I'm so happy to be a part of this franchise.
DeMarcus, what have the workouts been like in this offseason after you had such a significant year last year? Really, I think you're starting to really come into your own personally and professionally right now. And how are you carrying that into your offseason work?
Taking it one day at a time. You know, I can't, you know, get too excited, you know, about so many things with the future. You know, all you can do is control what you can control. And that's, you know, one, you know, preparing for, you know, the day ahead and, you know, whatever tasks at hand, from stretching to strength and conditioning to position work to whatever, you know, helps me, you know, feel very confident on game day and, you know, leading these guys to win. That's what I've been doing. You know, right now I'm actually in Columbus, Ohio, working out with a position work guy, Alan Clark, and the great old Larry Jefferson, Ohio State D-line coach. So I've been getting some work with these guys.
Oh, DeMarcus, Jim Miller here. Welcome to Chicago. I'm actually going to be in Columbus this weekend. My son's got a big AAU tournament. I'll be heading down there from Michigan, so it'll be good. Hopefully we can run into each other. But what intrigued you about the Bears in free agency? What got you excited to be a part of this and what they're trying to achieve in Chicago?
I mean, I think it took three things. One, the attention they were showing me, you know, from the moment the season was over with. My agent was telling me how Chicago was very, you know, aggressive, you know, and there was a lot of teams that was very heavy on me. But they were so more consistent. And then the investment part behind it, you know, definitely followed up with, you know, the attention they was giving me. And then lastly, honestly, you know, just, you know, having a team to believe in you, you know, and sitting down with these guys and telling me, you know, how much, you know, they believe in me, you know, and everything that I've endured and overcame. And, you know, obviously, you know, you're still going to, you know, continue fighting battles every single day, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, to, you know, go through so many things, so many hills and obstacles, you know, and, you know, Chicago to, you know, be the team that, you know, all you need is one team, you know, as long as you need just one person that really believes in you, like a marriage. So, I mean, honestly, you know, that was, you know, a lot of all different things that definitely played in together. I mean, and obviously, like I told you guys before at the press conference, this is a, you know, a quarterback-driven league, and there's no better feeling to have a fan base in a city that, you know, loves defense and cherishes and, you know, got his back. So, you know, I'm willing to put my all into, you know, this game, into helping this team win, you know, and to where, as long as that, you know, energy is reciprocated, and I know it will be. I mean, Chicago, y'all got what y'all wanted, which I don't know what you got. You know what I mean?
Well, for the Bears fans that don't know you, and maybe just describe your game, you know, and how you play, what type of player you are. As Jeff said, you're coming off of your best year, 7 sacks, 10 tackles for a loss. You were a disruptive player in Tennessee, but you've been consistent throughout. You know, whether it's 4 sacks, 3.5, you've been consistent. But last year it seemed like everything came together for you. And what type of player you're going to be or what they can expect?
That's a great question. And you know what? Everyone is going to have their own opinion. And, you know, my mom always told me everyone is not going to like me. Mm-hmm. So my thing with Bears, after the season, we're going to revisit the conversation, and then y'all going to tell me what y'all think. I know what type of player I am. Mm-hmm. The only word I can really say is different, you know, so that's kind of vague, you know. So after the season, I want you guys to give me you guys on the team, you know.
Awesome.
You got it. DeMarcus Walker, our guest here on Bears Weekly with Jim Miller, Jeff Joniak, breaking things down to the new additions of the Chicago Bears. The roster's been fluid these last year plus here with a new general manager and new coaching staff. So it's going to be a big get-to-know-you session, not only for the fans getting to know you guys, but in that locker room as well. a note for fans out there who love all these stats, but DeMarcus Walker also kicked inside, played some defensive tackle, including, you know, rushing from the edge. But I don't know if you know this, but playing three technique, you were tied for sixth in the NFL in sacks last year, but you only played less than 40% of the snaps. So that fresh production, is that right up your alley, just coming fresh in a rotation? I know every head coach and every defensive head coach, like Coach Eberflus, would like to have a rotation of about eight or nine guys to wreak havoc up front, not only in the pass game, but stopping the run.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was definitely a blessing to take advantage of all the opportunities I had. And shout out to the Titans, you know, for, you know, just giving me an opportunity and believing in me. And, you know, it was up to me on the field to, you know, take care of rest. So, you know, the old saying, you can lead a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink. So that was really like, you know, the situation right there. So honestly, it's good to hear, you know, how the things prevailed and to be, I didn't know I was top six since in the NFL. But I mean, honestly, you know, it's like a shooter. If a shooter's hot, you know what I'm saying? You don't take him out of the game. And honestly, with more opportunities, you know, it was a catch a rhythm and understand, you know, what I'm given and be able to react. So, you know, just got to take one at a time, you know. Hopefully, you know, the whole team and I stay healthy and we continue, you know, to work and, you know, build our chemistry.
We won't go too deep into the history and your background because we'll save that for later down the road, but I'm always intrigued by the journeys of guys, so we'll keep it simple. I read that your dad wanted you to become a doctor, and he finally let you play football, and your life changed at 15 years old. Best decision he ever made, DeMarcus. Would you agree?
Okay. All right. All right. No. All right. Let me clear you. Let me. No. At 15 years old, my dad, he just had me take a break from football. You know what I'm saying? Because in middle school, I was a three sport athlete: football, basketball, and track, and won, you know, outstanding awards in all sports. And honestly, you know, be honest with you, he really wanted me to become a basketball player, but that wasn't going to happen. You know, I was more into football. But honestly, you know, that break, you know, for me definitely, you know, was the blessing. And to where, you know, when that spring football came around, then in my freshman year, he was like, all right, you can go. He took me, and the rest was history, you know.
Yeah. Well, you jogged my memory there, DeMar. I remember, I think I interviewed you at the combine. Didn't you run the 4x4 relay in high school?
Absolutely, I did.
You were the last one, right? So you're the biggest man on the track, and you had to bring it home, if I remember, correct?
Sometimes I did, but mostly I was third leg. I was third leg on that one. You almost there. Okay, you got a good memory, man. That's what's up.
Yeah, I remember. I was like, man, those other runners are probably scared to death out there. You're running bringing it home with a lot of power. Well, from your standpoint, when, you know, with where you're at in your career and being the leader that you are, you know, seventh year in the NFL, and this is a young team. You know, there's a lot of young players, like from Kyler Gordon and obviously young Justin Fields. And in your experience, how can you be a leader to these young players that really are going to be looking to you for some guidance?
I mean, that's a great question. All I can do is just take it one at a time and control what I can control. Hopefully, you know, these guys are, you know, willing to learn, but then also we're all willing to work together and come together to achieve one result. Into where, you know, I'm just being myself. And that's one thing I came to, you know, realize, you know, honestly, my Denver years, my 4 years in Denver was growing pains, and I left a man. And then to where Houston kind of polished me and molded me into the man I am today. So when I went to Tennessee, I had a better attitude about everything, spiritually, mentally, I mean, professionally. And, you know, carry on with that, I mean, honestly, I didn't know that I was going to win the locker room over as quick as I did in Tennessee. Honestly, every team is different. But, I mean, honestly, I'm going to be myself, but honestly, I'm going to ask a lot more because I'm tired of losing. Like, that's just really just to be honest with you. Like, I'll tell Poles that, I'll tell Flus that, I'll tell Coach Williams that, because one thing about DeMarcus, y'all going to get me. I know Walter Payton was sweetness, but that ain't this over here. Like, I'm a good guy, humble guy, but I'm going to let y'all know how I feel.
We love to hear that because we're all tired of losing, man. We want to win big here in Chicago, no question about it. DeMarcus, thank you so much for taking the time. You're an enjoyable personality, and we'll be looking forward to meeting you face-to-face.
Hey, man, God bless. It's so awesome conversation with you guys.
Good to talk to you.
Thank you. DeMarcus Walker, our guest, the Florida State product. We're going to head to a break. When we come back, we'll stay talking down the cornerback class of 2023 with Jim Miller. By the way, Walker, you might remember, 16 sacks in his senior year at Florida State, the ACC Defensive Player of the Year and a consensus All-American. He was second in the nation in sacks. We'll pick up the conversation after this break here on ESPN 1000 and the Bears Radio Network.
This is Bears Weekly with the voice of the Bears for 23 years, Jeff Joniak, on the Bears Radio Network.
Pretty impressive top of the cornerback class, a premium spot as the NFL draft rolls out here in 2 weeks. Jim Miller, Jeff Joniak with you here on ESPN 1000. Man, outstanding interview with DeMarcus Walker there. That is great recall by you. You have interviewed literally hundreds and hundreds of kids at the combine. How you remember stuff like that? I guess when you're 6'4", 280, and he runs something like, I don't know if he was 280 at that point, so, but that's a great recall, Jimmy.
Yeah, well, I remember. Maybe it's just my quarterback brain in playbooks and stuff, but I'll never forget. So I interviewed him, and he said, yeah, and we went through that story about his dad, and he goes, yeah, but, you know, I ran track, and I'm like, and Pat Kerwin's a track guy. So he's like, all right, what'd you run? He's like, well, yeah, I ran the 4x4 relay. And I go, all right, well, what did he goes, well, I did the last leg. And so I'm thinking, I'm like, you're at, even in high school, I mean, coming out of high school, he was legit 6'4", you know, 250 pounds. So I'm just imagining, I go, so what did the other runners think when they were going up against you on the last leg? So he had to bring it home, right? That's where you got to have the kick on the last leg of the 4x4. And he said, yeah, he goes, yeah, I get tired, but man, I just run as hard as I could. And he goes, yeah, they were pretty intimidated by me, but I'll never forget it. But that's, hey, he got his speed. He could run now. He could really run. He's a really good player. And like you said, he's grown, he's maturing, and spent time out there with Vic Fangio and has had good experiences. Lovie, you know, down in Houston, you know, with Lovie Smith being there, and then in Tennessee with Mike Vrabel. So he's a good football player who is coming into his own. Really good player.
I love that he's working with Larry Johnson. Those who don't know, he is the Ohio State defensive line coach, but really made a reputation for a long time at Penn State, working with a lot of first-round picks over the years, and then certainly at the NFL level with the Bosa brothers and Chase Young and all that. So that's who he's working with right now in Columbus, getting ready. I'm sure he's working them through positional drills, and that's the key part of this whole equation.
I may stop
who
by
you attach yourself
facility.
To, you know?
Yeah, I may stop by that facility down there. Big AAU tournament going on down in Columbus this weekend.
Right, so you'll be dialed into not only football, but your son. You got to be, right?
Yeah.
Well, how old is he now?
He is 16.
Oh, okay.
So he's over 16.
So these are the big boys now. These are high school boys.
Yeah. Yeah, so nice. He's big into basketball, and he's played a little football, and he's starting to fill out and in the weight room every day. So it's a slow roll, but it's getting there, Jeff.
All right. Andrew Billings will be our guest here in moments, the Bears defensive lineman. While we await his arrival, we'll start talking corners. I know it's Weatherspoon, it's Gonzalez, it's Porter, it's Deontay Banks, but you know who's one of my favorite? And there was a guy, I'm not going to say who, at the combine, a national writer that kept trying to tamp down my enthusiasm for Emmanuel Forbes out of Mississippi State.
Yeah,
he's not going to be a first rounder, but he's 166 pounds. But my gosh, if we're looking for a ball hawk, he might be one of my favorite guys. He's got he had 14 interceptions and 6 touchdowns.
Yeah,
in the SEC.
Yeah, he's an incredible player, and we actually just interviewed him this week. He hopped on. His coaches there at Mississippi State gave him the freedom to do whatever he wanted. So he could play off, he could play press man. Basically, he was given free rein because he is that skilled of a ball hawk player. He was a receiver in high school, and so he's got route recognition, no splits. You know, just go watch like his pick six versus Will Levis when they played Kentucky. I mean, this guy just has incredible football IQ. He'll fill out. You know, right now he told me he's 175 pounds. He's just – remember when the Bears drafted Leonard Floyd? Leonard Floyd was just a high metabolism guy. He said, man, he goes, all I do is eat, and I can't keep anything on. And that's kind of the situation for Emmanuel Forbes. But you're right. 14 interceptions. He scores. He's got 22 interceptions, 8 returned for touchdowns in his last 4 seasons of football. So that includes his last year of high school.
Yeah,
so this guy is all around the ball. And you want to know what? Dude, I would put this guy at as a returner, too. He's got 4.35 speed. And I asked him, I said, well, have they ever asked you to return there at Mississippi State? He goes, yeah, I practiced it all the time, but they never put me in the game. He goes, but I can do it.
Yeah, you know? 4-star recruit, played basketball and baseball as well, and one of 10 siblings. Well, he's got 10 siblings in that big family. All right, talking about big, we got a big guy up front joining us now, Andrew Billings, the Baylor product, coming aboard on the Bears' revamped defense here for 2023. Welcome to the show. This is Bears Weekly. I'm Jeff Joniak, along with Jim Miller. Andrew, how you doing? How you feeling tonight?
I'm feeling good.
Appreciate you coming aboard. How is this sitting with you? You got a lot of attention. We just got done talking to your new teammate over there. I don't know if you had time to talk with DeMarcus Walker. You got other guys coming up to revamp the defensive line, and you're a big piece of it there at that one-technique nose tackle position. How excited are you to hit the ground running here with the Bears?
Oh, man, I'm so excited. I'm ready to go.
What should we expect from a guy like yourself?
Solid gap protection and keeping my linebackers free and just doing everything I need to do with that one technique position to stop the run and also affect the pass.
Andrew, Jim Miller, welcome to Chicago. Good to have you. Just from your standpoint, what intrigued you about the Bears through free agency? Why do you want to be a part of what Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles have going on?
Yeah, I mean, given that when I talked to him, we talked about playing that cock nose at the one, and that's really a position that I'm comfortable in playing, and I feel like the technique for that is something that I really found myself doing very well in the NFL.
Well, from that standpoint, like, you know, why from the cock nose, like, what makes you feel more comfortable? Just to let the listeners know, explain that, I guess, when you talk about the cock nose and why you feel it's to your advantage.
I feel it's to my advantage because my ball hand down, that offhand right there is ready to go. So any type of reach block, I'm right there. And it also helps me squeeze back on the pull if that guard ever pulls outside.
And we are with Andrew Billings, the Bears' new defensive tackle, a seventh-year player and a former fourth-round pick of the Cincinnati Bengals, kind enough to join us tonight on Bears Weekly. To me, is underrated, you're talking about your hands, and that's something that players have to adjust to if they didn't make it their specialty in the college game. You learn over the course of your NFL career that the use of your hands is critical. How would you assess your hand usage, how it's developed over your career? Because I've watched your tape, and you have some violent swats of the hand when you go to work up front.
Yeah, I mean, over the years, I've kind of gotten better and better, and it is still something, you know, we work on it at every practice. It's something that you can't work enough of it. But I've really understood and come to understand how important just that not only my leverage with my hands, but also just the placement as well.
And that also marries with your dedication to the weight room. You know, Jim Miller here, if you haven't met him before, was on the 2001 Bears team. And Jim worked out in the off season with the Bears, and you know, everybody started to feel the vibe because they got together in that weight room in the off season and they bonded. And Jim wrote on a piece of paper what he expected the Bears to be in 2001. And not many folks predicted this at all, but he wrote 13-3 on a piece of paper. They locked it in a drawer, and sure enough, the Bears finished 13-3 and went to the playoffs. And it all started because of the weight room, even the quarterbacks. How big is the weight room bonding from your experience on the teams you've played on, and how important will it be with the Bears as you collide with a lot of new faces here and young players in that Bears locker room?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, the weight room is it's important for the physical aspect as well of football, but it is it's a special place. You know, it's somewhere you go either before practice or after practice. You usually lift with your position group, and that's where you guys chop it up, and you learn how to push each other. It's almost like when you break bread as a teammate, but just in the aspect of working out.
Well, how is it for you logistically, Andrew, in terms of finding a place, getting to know the city, getting familiar with everybody in the building? How is that for you? And not that you haven't done it before, obviously going from Cincinnati out there to Vegas, but getting yourself in that routine that you need where everything's just right so you're ready to roll.
Yeah, everything fell in place very, very smooth. I mean, the team's been in contact with me constantly and worked on getting a spot to live, and it feels very comfortable. It was very easy.
And from your standpoint, you know, being that, as I just mentioned this to DeMarcus about, this is a young team, you know, and you're kind of the elder statesman now. You're a veteran guy who's been around, and how can you bring along a lot of these young players to get to the goals that everybody wants to reach in the organization?
Yeah, just help them out to show them what to do on the field and off the field. It's easy to lose yourself when you know first get to the NFL, and it's also easy to try to change the way you play. You know, it's trying to keep what you did in college and make it fit within the scheme of the defense that you're in now, basically.
Andrew Billings, our guest here on Bears Weekly, and the defensive lineman. You just mentioned college, and you were co-defensive player of the year back in 2015 of the Big 12 at Baylor, so you came in with a great resume, and you could speak to that experience because I think you turned 20 in March of that before the draft, or you were 20. So you were a 21-year-old NFL player as a fourth-round pick of the Bengals, and there in 2 weeks are going to be a bunch of 21-year-olds that are promising players going to be drafted into the NFL. What advice would you give to young players coming into the Bears organization at that early age, now that you can look back 7 years after the fact and what you learned from that and what you can explain to them about the impact of being an NFL player just 21 years old?
Yeah. I would definitely stress the hopping in the playbook and really studying. You know, you don't have to study the full, you don't have to know, you know, pro, deuce, and all that, but just study the formations as far as where's the tight end, where's the running back. And I think, you know, that's something that if I did that more as a rookie, I think I would have progressed a little bit smoother.
How much did playing offensive line as a prep, and I know there's stats that you had, I think, 266 pancake blocks as a prep in Waco. That's crazy, but then you move to defensive line. But did that experience of the offensive line help you become a better defensive lineman even now at this point in your life?
Yeah, I think so. It helped me kind of understand what the offensive lineman is trying to do on certain plays. It helped me. I can see the steps better. I can see the zone versus stretch a little bit better, I feel like. And I know I can feel them trying to get front side a little easier. I think that's something that helped me. But in high school, yeah, I played right tackle, so I don't see many right-left tackles these days anymore. But I think it still helped a little bit.
Well, on the heels of the NFL owners meetings, it looked like they were going to vote to make roughing the passer reviewable. I mean, how difficult is that for you, or how frustrating it is? Because, you know, that is a punitive play. When, you know, say you have too much weight on the quarterback, and unfortunately they're not going to do it. They're going to protect these quarterbacks. But even as a former quarterback, I feel for you guys, man, on the defensive line. I mean, talk about that frustration when you get such a punitive penalty.
Yeah, it's frustrating. It's very frustrating. You know, sometimes you see the penalty thrown, and it's like, what could he have done differently? And you always go back, you know, after the game on Monday and watch it and be like, oh, okay, I see now. But, you know, in the heat of the moment, man, it's not really something you think about. You're trying to get the quarterback down, especially like, you know, a guy like me. If I get to the quarterback, I really don't care how he gets to the ground as long as I get him there. But
Well, I mean,
it's frustrating.
Well, those two plays, one by Grady Jarrett, you know, was just a tackle on Tom Brady, and then that Chris Jones one on Derek Carr still infuriates me because that was a great play by Chris Jones. He actually took the ball away. He was now the offensive player with the ball, and Derek Carr was the defender, and they called too much weight on Chris Jones. I mean, incredible.
It's interesting.
Yeah, and it's interesting to hear that Jim was a quarterback, and he was made, you know. Hey, you're not protecting your own big Jim. I like it.
Hey, man, football's football.
Football's football. All right, Andrew, we're going to let you go. We appreciate all your time, and I got to give you the props, too. Listen, Would you say, and I lied, one more question. Would you say your greatest asset is how powerful you are? Because this goes back, you set the state record in Texas in powerlifting, 2,010 total pounds, squat, deadlift, and bench. So clearly it's important to you, and I'm sure you're still important in the weight room, but is that your greatest strength, the power generated just by your overall strength?
I would say my power is one of my greatest abilities. It definitely comes in handy, you know. long play drive, sometimes you gotta anchor down. So it really helps.
All right, well, we'll be looking forward to see you throw some guys around coming up here in 2023. Okay. Appreciate all the time. See you soon.
All right, now see you soon.
All right, welcome
Andrew
to Chicago.
Andrew Billings, yes, welcome to Chicago. The Baylor Bears, now a Chicago Bear. We're going to take a break. Back with Jim Miller as we continue to preview the NFL draft coming up here in 2 weeks. This is Bears Weekly on ESPN 1000 and the Chicago Bears Radio Network.
This is Bears Weekly with the voice of the Bears for 23 years, Jeff Joniak, on the Bears Radio Network.
Not to stir up bad memories, but the Bears did have the 31st ranked run defense last season, but they got a run stuff for now. And Andrew Billings, at least one of the many that will be added to this defense. Jeff Joniak, Jim Miller back with you here tonight. Appreciate you listening on what's been, Jim, I don't know what's it like in Michigan, but man, these last 4 days have been stunningly great.
Yeah,
weather-wise. Just beautiful.
It's been beautiful here in Michigan, too. So 2 days in the 70s, sun has been out, not a cloud in the sky. Beautiful sunset happening right now. So this is what we're all waiting for, Jeff. Got to
go through that
misery period for,
gotta
a,
go through
for
the
a
pain.
Little bit. Yeah,
got to go through the pain to enjoy it, yes. All right, so as I mentioned before we move on to some other topics, so he's playing one in this defense. It's really a gap and a half, but shading over the, you know, one of the shoulders of the center. But how impactful is a good one for the rest of the defensive line?
Yeah.
And the front seven in general.
Yeah, so he's going to be what Ted Washington was to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's, you know, he's a big, beefy defensive tackle. And, you know, that's really, you mentioned his strength. Obviously, his weight room numbers speak for himself. But this is a mountain of a man who can definitely, you know, take on double teams. And he can affect, makes it hard to push the pile, makes it hard to mush the rock. And like you said, the run defense wasn't good enough last year, and he's going to be a key component on first and second downs, where he's going to be considered to be a disruptive guy to really wall that off. And so he's going to be counted on greatly in this defense.
All right, you mentioned the quarterbacks and how it is ruled in terms of the hits and so forth. Well, as we learned today, it's the big headline. The NFL, quote, enters the next era of helmet safety with the advent of a quarterback-specific helmet. I'm sure you discussed it at great length today on Moving the Chains on SiriusXM, but, you know, they determined that half of all quarterback concussions occur when the helmets hit the ground, and they believe this version will reduce the severity of impacts. All in the name of overall safety, all for it. What do you think about it as a former quarterback?
Well, I knew this was coming because it was about probably 4 years ago I was on the conference call with the NFL that they were gearing and working with helmet companies to come up with position-specific helmets for each position group. So for this helmet that Vices has created, supposedly they've already tested it. It has 7% better performance than the old helmets that the players. But the players got to be willing to use it. I don't know why the league just wouldn't mandate it if it's all about safety. Just say, hey, we need you to wear these helmets. But it's called the 0-2 Matrix Helmet by Vices. It could basically, according to Jason Neuber, who's the executive for Vices, the unique thing is that it is a deformable outer shell, which means that when you take an impact in any location on that helmet, it will deform or basically dent as a helmet to that location so it can absorb the impact. And so this is going to be for every position now. This isn't the only helmet they have out. They have the Vices 0-2R, and that's for offense and defensive alignment. So that same how it basically absorbs the impact. So for offense and defensive alignment, it's going to be on the front of the helmet. You know, this specifically for the quarterbacks on the back of the helmet. So think about when Tua Tagovailoa, almost that whiplash motion where you get tackled and your head snaps back and you hit the back of your helmet on the turf. and now it'll basically absorb that impact. And so for the offensive and defensive lineman helmet, that'll do it more in the front of the helmet. And they're still doing the skull caps and all that stuff is going to continue, and it sounds like the NFL is going to mandate that even more. But this has been in the works for about 4 years now, and pretty much every position will have their helmet just due to the studies and the data that's out there, the type of blows that they take during a game.
And it's going to continue. I mean, they're offering dangling carrots here. The NFL, they have competition challenges. This one was a $3 million competition designed to kind of accelerate the process and get something done with this helmet challenge. And I know they're doing this in many different aspects as well. I mean, it's worth for a company to really get on the radar a little bit to compete for this and then prominently be displayed and have it work, because it's going to trickle down to all the rest of the levels of football.
Yeah. Well, you just wonder. I'd like to ask them, you know, because there's, you know, there's always change of play, sudden changes in a, you know, in a game where a defensive player, say an interception, now an offensive player now becomes a defensive player, you know, and the hits change now. And right. How, you know, so you just like to know more about how they went about it, because of things like that need to be discussed where, you know, because things like that happen in a game kind of change that. You know, so if I'm a quarterback and, you know, I've got this certain helmet on and now I throw an interception and now, you know, is it going to be on the front of my helmet too when I got to become a defender to make a tackle?
Did you ever take a hit chasing down an interception?
Yeah, of course.
I mean,
blew my shoulder
up.
You dug this.
Never. Well, no. Not that one. No, I'm talking about you going after the guy who intercepted your pass. That's what I'm talking about. That's what you're referring to, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Were you?
Yeah. I remember that one. Please. I can still see it in my mind's eye. I know that. Yeah. I know you took some hits.
Yeah, that's a memorable one that doesn't really go away, Jeff. Thanks for bringing that up.
But there's
plays like that where it happened, or even when you got to put on a block, say a reverse or something like that, you know, nothing crazy like that. I mean,
yeah, okay.
But back then we never had those type of you know, kind of like when I showed up in the NFL, it's just like, all right, here's your helmet. I had a Riddell helmet, and I always wore a Riddell, you know, so it never really bothered me. I'd like to know what the weight of these are, you know, compared to, because that's really the biggest concern of players, you know, is just the weight of the helmet.
I've heard that from players, and they are pretty, you know, again, the NFLPA says there's been like a high 90 percentage, whatever they recommend they use, but there are some guys, especially veterans, that they don't want to budge from what they used.
Well, think about Tom Brady. I mean, they basically gave him a grandfather clause because he wanted to stick with the same helmet. And I'm kind of the same way. Players are very specific about what they will and will not use, you know, specifically a helmet. Like, I even brought my shoulder pads from high school, or not high school, but college. My first year for the Steelers, they're like, "No, you can't wear those." I'm like, "Yeah, I'm gonna wear these." You know, then Tony Parisi, he ended up winning that battle, and I got fitted with other shoulder pads the next year. But I wanted to stick with my same shoulder pads.
All right, we're gonna take a break. When we come back, we're gonna talk defensive line. But before we do, Jim, just give me with a short answer: who's your favorite corner that you think would fit for the Bears?
Oh man, there's a lot of them. I like Gonzalez.
Okay.
I like Gonzalez a lot.
Oregon, 6'2", 200, moves well, three-year starter length to snatch those number one wide receivers. We'll pick up the thought after this break. This is Bears Weekly here on ESPN 1000 and the Chicago Bears Radio Network.
This is Bears Weekly with the voice of the Bears for 23 years, Jeff Joniak, on the Bears Radio Network.
It's a never-ending process. Finding the right talent for your organization, not knowing what the other teams are ultimately going to do. You can guess. That's why we all love the draft. And I'll tell you, Jim Miller, Jeff Joniak with you on Bears Weekly, our final moments here on ESPN 1000. We really appreciate you listening tonight. Tyler Aki coming up after the show at 7 o'clock. I feel like I still got a long way to go in terms of prep, because I'm not just looking at first and second round. I like going deep, right? But man, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work to find the right guys, and you fall in love with guys. So who are you falling in love with on the defensive line?
Well, I want to finish up on the defensive backs a little bit, because that Christian Gonzalez, who you brought up, because a buddy of mine who I played with at Michigan State, Demetrius Martin, he was a wide receiver / defensive back. They, like, moved him back and forth. Really good athlete. And he coached Christian Gonzalez at Colorado, And then when he got a job offer from Oregon, Christian Gonzalez wanted to stick with him. He's like, he was being coached so well and all that stuff, and he wanted to stick with Demetrius. And he's got crazy hands, and he is a freaky athlete now. Big guy. He's a snatcher of he's got a snatcher of the football. I mean, it's just natural for him. But, you know, Brian Branch, the kid from Alabama, he's a true nickel corner. He's like a Minka Fitzpatrick type of player. I love the kid from Illinois, that Devin Witherspoon.
Sure do.
My goodness. For as light as he is, I talked to Brett Bielema. That kid, he said, we just put him on the best player every single week. The kid loves challenges. He's going to fill out. He's just got to mature physically, you know, and why he's so light. But he'll gain the weight that he needs. But then you got the big corners like Joey Porter Jr. He's over 6'2". Keely Ringo from Georgia. He's another huge corner, 6'2" guy. Deontay Banks, go look at the kid from Maryland. Go look at his freaky numbers. All right, he's 4'3", 5".
A lot of folks are really jumping on him for sure, falling in love, not only with the physicality that he brings at that size, but, yes, the really fantastic athleticism. And, you know, that guy's he will be a first-rounder, you think? He'll be a first-rounder. He can hold up against tight ends, too.
Yeah. I think he might go high second round, I think is where it is. But, I mean, because, you know, quarterbacks are going to force good guys down. You know, but the meat, there's going to be really good players there in the second round. Go check out Julius Brents, the corner from Kansas State. My goodness. Yeah. I mean, it goes on and on and on. Cam Smith, same thing. The kid from South Carolina, he can play. I mean, and that's true at all the positions, you know. Yeah, some, you know, there's about 40 defensive backs that they think are draftable in this draft. 40. Think about that.
Yeah, that's a lot. Yeah. But now the question is, and we won't be able to get into it as deep as we had hoped here, running out of time, but will they say that about the defensive line as well? I mean, the premium spots, obviously, the guys who sack the quarterback and the guys who dominate inside, and those are hard guys to find, but there will be some available for the Bears. And it's now up to them to see if they're going to – we got less than a minute to go, Jim. Tyree Wilson's name is becoming prominent as well. Yeah. That has been a steady name throughout this whole draft process. It's really rising up.
Yeah, I think it's Tyree Wilson, obviously Anderson, Miles Murphy from Clemson, and Keon White, the Georgia Tech product. And even Will McDonald from Iowa State, your Cyclone, probably all have a really good shot going. And you probably put Lucas Van Ness in that mix for the edge rushers. Those are really the top guys there. Defensive tackle, Jalen Carter, obviously. Kalijah Kancey, I talked to Pat Narduzzi. He loves that kid. I mean, go watch his game against Syracuse. The guy's got just an awesome swim move, man. And he can play violently. He is a little bit lighter. Everybody's like, well, will he hold up? Well, it's where you move him, right? Because Aaron Donald, even though he was 280 when he was drafted, look at how they played him. They moved him around. That's what you're going to have to do with Kalijah Kancey, the three technique from
I love watching
Pittsburgh.
His tape. And on that note, we got to go.
All right.
Sorry, Big Jim. Hey, we could talk all day long. In fact, you do all day. So you love this game. That's why you're here. We love
That's
you,
right.
Buddy. We'll talk to you next week. We'll start breaking down the other skill positions, receivers and running backs, and deeper into the safety position. That's going to do it for our show tonight. Thanks all the way around the horn for everybody. Dan Borelli, Katie Tuber, Jordan Trudup, and also Kendra Smith. We had DeMarcus Walker and Andrew Billings, our guests. For Jim Miller, I'm Jeff Joniak. Thanks to everybody. Tyler Aki is next here on ESPN 1000. Thanks for listening, everybody. Good night.
Thank you for listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears Weekly. Podcasts are available on the Chicago Bears official app. Brought to you by Verizon and Apple Podcasts. Bears Weekly has been brought to you by Bet Rivers and Miller Lite.